We present The Unbelievable Truth, the panel game built on truth and lies. In the chair, please welcome David Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to The Unbelievable Truth, the panel show about incredible truths and barely credible lies. I'm David Mitchell. I'm joined by four of the funniest people in Britain, not just my words, also their agents. Please welcome Marcus Brigstock, Ria Lina, Lucy Porter and Richard Osman. The rules are as follows. Each panellist will present a short lecture that should be entirely false, save for five hidden truths which their opponent should try to identify. Points are scored by truths that go unnoticed, while other panellists can win points if they spot a truth or lose points if they mistake a lie for a truth. First up is Marcus Brigstock. Marcus is the master of satirical comedy, and thanks to his tireless efforts of holding this government to account, he... He has restricted the Conservatives' tenure of power to just 14 years and counting. Marcus, your subject is bans, prohibitions forbidding certain things that are imposed by law or official decree. Off you go, Marcus, fingers on buzzers, the rest of you.
You literally can't say anything anymore. Try and say something, you can't. It's all been banned because you can't say anything because of the ban on saying anything. I tried saying anything in 2019 and I was banned. You can't say Christmas in parts of Birmingham. You can't say manhole in parts of California. You can't say parts in parts of New Zealand. You can't say absolute tosser on Radio 4. We'll see if, see if that stays in.
Rhea.
Can you not say manhole in parts of California? Because it would be people hole.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. Yes, in 2019, the city of Berkeley, California, banned the use of the word manhole as sexist and patriarchal and now refers to it as a maintenance hole.
That's worse.
We're all thinking now about our various maintenance holes.
By the time I get to the end of this lecture, this will have been banned because you literally can't say anything anymore. I mean, to be fair, the final 2 minutes of this lecture really is very, very racist.
Richard.
I'm just guessing. Knowing Marcus, it probably will be.
Well, we'll have to wait and find out. Yeah.
In North Korea, the following things are all banned by state decree. Ennui, banned. Shuffling in gregariousness, banned. The movie Footloose, banned. Sarcasm, banned. Public references to Kevin Bacon, banned. EE adverts by Kevin Bacon, banned. And Streaky Bacon, banned.
Richard.
I mean, it's got to be one of them. Footloose being banned in North Korea.
No. Lucy.
Shuffling in gregariousness?
Shuffling in gregariousness. No, that's not banned.
If anything, it's encouraged. I don't know if you've seen any of the state march pasts in North Korea, but they are both gregarious and, from my point of view, pretty shuffly. Oh, it is racist.
Another point to me.
The band The Bangles are banned from Banbury. The Bangles band Banno Wrangler, Stan the Man Bangle, banged Banbury's bandstand badly back in the band's van. David Cameron is banned from the Shepherd's Hut Society for allegedly bringing it into disrepute. Donald Trump accidentally banned himself from his own social media platform, Truth Social. He's also banned from entering Miss World. She's made that very clear.
Richard.
Did he accidentally ban himself from his own social media site?
No.
Sounded so plausible, didn't
Listen,
it?
Listen, I know up to now he's been pretty faultless, but that I just felt waiting.
Trump has also been banned from Kenny's Wee Crazy Golf Shack in Aberdeen, Melania's Bedroom, France, Chuck E. Cheese, and Sheffield.
Rhea.
The mini golf place in Scotland. Doesn't he have his own golf course anyway? So I bet they just did it out of spite.
So they might have done, but no.
Oh.
No, I don't know if it even exists, Kenny's Wee Crazy Golf
Shack. I would have put money on that being right. Yeah.
Lucy.
Can I go for Sheffield? Because I love Sheffield.
You're right. Yeah. It's Sheffield. Yes, Sheffield's Lord Mayor, Majid, banned Donald Trump from Sheffield during a city council meeting in 2018. And he declared in a subsequent tweet, I, Majid, Lord Mayor and first citizen of this city, hereby declare that not only is Donald J. Trump a waste man, But he is also henceforth banned from the great city of Sheffield. Oh, that's... Quite the proclamation, isn't it?
Yeah. Your move, Kenny's Golf Shack.
Yeah. Two French boxers once kissed for so long at the end of their match that the French Boxing Federation banned kissing in the ring. My wife operates the same system. In China, funerals were banned for 3 months in 2021 as it was felt they sent out a bad message.
Rhea.
That one.
Funerals banned?
Yes.
No.
Oh. If you are lucky enough to die in China, you're not allowed to swell the numbers of mourners attending your funeral by booking strippers or laying on an all-you-can-eat noodle bar. Unbelievable Truth host David Mitchell is banned from Gibraltar Literature Festival after telling the audience at a book signing they were no better than the stupid little apes on their stupid little rock. A statement he stands by to this day.
Thank you, Marcus. So, Marcus, at the end of that round, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel, which are that North Korea has banned sarcasm.
Oh, well done.
In an attempt to crack down on dissent, North Korea has banned people from making sarcastic comments about Kim Jong-un or his regime in their everyday conversations. The second truth is that the French Boxing Federation banned kissing in the ring, specifically at the end of a boxing match. And the third truth is that in China, you're not allowed to swell the numbers of mourners attending your funeral by booking strippers. China has a bizarre tradition whereby strippers are hired to perform at funerals, supposedly to give the deceased a good send-off and to attract a large crowd of mourners. However, in 2015, after reports of some obscene performances at funerals in the east of the country, as well as incidents involving performers inviting grieving men on stage to remove their clothes, the Chinese Ministry of Culture issued a formal ban. And that means, Marcus, you've scored 3 points. In 2010, Ghana outlawed the sale of second-hand underpants as being unhygienic and unclean. An outrageous smear was what provoked the ban. In 2019, the city of Berkeley in California announced a ban on the use of the word manholes due to its associations with the patriarchy. They are now known as street vaginas. Okay. We turn now to Lucy Porter. Lucy, your subject is the French, natives, citizens or inhabitants of France. Off you go, Lucy.
The French are renowned for their terrible food. Anything good there was in fact nicked from somewhere else. Toulouse sausages were originally German, the croissant was invented in Austria, and the idea of eating snails in garlic butter was first hit upon by an English gardener who was having a nervous breakdown. French fries are actually just good old English chips, but they look thinner because they're further away. France has no national football team to speak of, but other sports such as competitive eye rolling, drug-assisted cycling and baguette javelin are quite popular.
Marcus.
I've seen drug-assisted cycling. They call it the Tour de France.
Well... Interesting. I mean, that's not the title of the sport. I think it's called cycling, and I don't think that's for short.
But I think, I'll go for it as a truth. Do they have a separate drug-assisted cycling event?
Well, no, obviously not, because in the real cycling, they all are.
Yes. So. But it would be a very good way of convincing people they're not if you went, oh, no, there's a separate event for people taking drugs.
No, it would be interesting to have a special drug-assisted cycling, but in which practicing cycling is cheating.
People's first go on a bike, yeah. Absolutely ripped to the tits on steroids.
Fast balls of muscle. Yeah. They don't even know how to ring the bell. There have been allegations of doping in the Tour de France since the race began in 1903, it says here. Early Tour riders consumed alcohol and used ether, as well as strychnine, cocaine and chloroform, as a means of dulling the pain of competing in endurance cycling. So I would say there has been drug-assisted cycling at the highest level in France, and I'm willing to give you a bonus point for that. Rhea.
I can't do a lot of sports, but I could do baguette javelin, so I want that to be a sport.
Are you saying you think it's true, or you're just asking people to start it up?
Well, actually, if people started it up, then it would be true, so then I would get a point. Well,
I can't give points for things that will become true in the future. We have to take the world as it is now. And as it is now, there is no such sport as baguette javelin.
But if I start throwing them between now and when it airs, you're going to look really silly.
I certainly. And for that commitment, you would deserve the point.
Although there has never been a single prosecution in France for football-related violence, some of their sports have developed a toxic culture. Players of French cricket can be so poorly behaved that they have to be sent stern French letters or given a French dressing down. While the world of boule has been rocked by so-called booliganism, this hasn't diminished the sport's appeal, and the 2016 national final remains the most popular broadcast in French TV history.
Marcus.
I do think, because it's so delightful, booliganism exists.
It does exist.
Yes!
In 2007, the French press coined the term booliganisme to describe a spate of drunken violence during boule or pétanque matches in rural France. One local pétanque federation suspended all competitive matches following a series of brawls and acts of vandalism on the pitch. Unlike football, it's the players, not the spectators, who are involved. Because, of course, there are no spectators.
The Channel Tunnel was entirely an English idea. France was initially opposed to its construction because they were worried that the British railway network might be contagious. Naturally shabby dressers, the French have had to enact strict laws, forcing them to smarten up. In Paris, nylon slacks for men have been prohibited by law since 1973. The wearing of trousers by women was only legalised in 2013, and wearing socks with sandals remains punishable by guillotine to this day.
Marcus.
I'm going to have a punt at women wearing trousers, even though it wasn't observed that officially it was on the statute book until 2013.
You're absolutely right.
Very good.
Although not enforced, it was against the law for women to wear trousers in Paris until 2013, when the French government overturned a law introduced in 1800, which stated that women needed to have the permission of the local police if they wanted to, quote, dress like a man and wear trousers. By 1909, women were allowed to wear trousers, but only if they were holding bicycle handlebars or the reins of a horse.
Has only one art gallery, the Louvre, and its most famous painting is that one of the dogs playing poker, which was done by an Englishman. France had no native artists at all until the 1950s, when they invented the Etch-a-Sketch and could finally express themselves, leading to the famous movie line, Etch-a-Sketch me like one of your French girls.
Marcus.
Did the French invent l'Etch-a-Sketch?
They certainly did, yes. The Etch-a-Sketch was invented by French electrical engineer André Cassagne in the 1950s. The early model was operated with a joystick, but it was redesigned to have turning knobs to mimic a television set.
Mm. This obscure knowledge of France that I have is not going to help with the misleading false claim on Wikipedia that I am in fact a French citizen. Which I think is based on I can speak a bit of French, and that was enough for Wikipedia to go, yeah, he's probably French.
Well, you do like both jazz and cheese, which is very un-British.
Mais c'est vrai. Oh!
As anyone who's ever driven in Paris will know, 85% of French drivers have never passed a driving test. In Paris, there is no legal requirement for cars to have indicators, there are no stop signs anywhere in the city, and stopping at traffic lights is optional. The logic being that most major junctions are usually blocked by a lorry load of burning sheep anyway.
Marcus.
I think there's no legal requirement to have indicators. I have driven in Paris, and if they have got them, they certainly don't use them.
There is a legal requirement for cars to have indicators.
Well,
in
someone
France.
Should tell the French.
Well, you're one of them. Why don't you have one?
Ria.
Are there no stop signs in Paris?
There are no stop signs in Paris. They only have traffic lights. The city did have one stop sign at the exit of a construction facility, but because of its fame, it was stolen so often that in 2016 they stopped replacing it. Thank you, Lucy. So, Lucy, at the end of that round, you've managed to smuggle one truth past the rest of the panel, which is that the croissant was invented in Austria. And that means, Lucy, you've scored 1 point. In the league table of sexual activity, the French lead the way by having sex an average of 137 times a year. And the figure is even higher if you include sex with their partners. Next up is Ria Lina. Ria, your subject is superstition, widely held but irrational beliefs in supernatural influences thought to have an effect, either positive or negative, on future events. Off you go, Ria.
The superstition of touching wood for good luck is uniquely English. In Indonesia, they touch rubber for luck, and in France, they touch cloth.
Marcus.
Do they touch rubber for luck in Indonesia?
No.
Good to check.
Yeah.
In Brazil, they traditionally touch hair for good luck. The luckiest places in Rio are thought to be waxing salons. And according to medieval superstition, a woman could recover her virginity by giving birth to 7 illegitimate children. However, if she had been lucky enough to recover her virginity and found herself in the company of 2 pregnant women, the only way to avoid getting pregnant again was to slap her backside 3 times.
Richard.
Time out. Time out.
There is a lot to unpack there.
If I might just confer with my colleagues for a moment. I might go a long way back and then leave the two of you with the virgins. and say that in Brazil they touch hair for luck.
They do not.
I think perhaps slapping yourself on the butt 3 times is thought to be a lucky way of avoiding becoming pregnant. Although, as I say it now, out loud, it does seem far-fetched, I must say.
No, you're absolutely right.
Oh, right. I shall tell my wife as soon as I get home.
According to Irish superstition, if you're in the company of 2 pregnant women and you don't want to become pregnant, you should slap your backside 3 times.
It's crazy because, scientifically speaking, they've proven that if you slap a bum while having sex, it excites the nerves in the area. Sorry.
What kind of a scientist gets funding for that sort of research? Marcus. That was an
odd... that part of the lecture?
No, that was...
Sorry.
That was just...
But it is true, right?
Yeah.
I'm not after the point here. I'm after things I can take home.
Yeah. Please. Please, Marcus, definitely take that all the way home.
All right. You can play a little bit of baguette javelin tonight.
In Zimbabwe, if you are kidnapped by a mermaid but your family sheds even a single tear for you, the mermaid will never return you to your family.
Richard.
I mean, is that true?
The mermaid in Zimbabwe thing.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm just asking for clarity.
Don't you take that tone with me. That could be a Zimbabwean myth.
It's true. It's true. You see, you read these things into my tone. It's about your lack of self-esteem.
British Olympic diver Tom Daley won't compete without his lucky swimming trunks. He says the only time he competed without them, he was disqualified. In Greece, Tuesday the 13th is unlucky because it means they have to work 3 more days before the weekend. All actors are very superstitious. Colin Farrell always wears the same shamrock boxer shorts on the first day of shooting a new movie, even for the sex scenes. Helen Mirren does all her dress rehearsals with her bra on inside out. Ralph Fiennes never did an audition unless he had a picture of a dog in his wallet. And not even his dog, just a random one he downloaded from the internet.
Marcus.
Yeah, Fiennes is bonkers. I reckon he had a picture of a dog in his wallet.
A random dog.
For luck.
No.
No?
Lucy.
I just was going to go, Helen Mirren wears her bra inside out, just because I want to allow Radio 4 listeners to think about Helen Mirren's breasts for a bit longer.
I really was.
Yeah.
Yes, it's all they're thinking about.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. And that's the end of Rhea's lecture. And Rhea, at the end of that round, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel, which are that according to medieval superstition, a woman could recover her virginity by giving birth to seven illegitimate children. Second truth is that Tuesday the 13th is traditionally seen as unlucky in Greece. The main reason given is the fact that Constantinople fell into the hands of Western crusaders on Tuesday the 13th of April 1204. And the third truth is that Colin Farrell always wears the same shamrock boxer shorts on the first day of shooting a new movie. He says, they're my lucky charm, and if I don't have them with me, I won't come out of the trailer. I'd shoot myself. And that means, Rhea, you've scored 3 points. The Blarney Stone in Ireland is kissed by over 400,000 people each year. According to superstition, it brings the kisser good luck. According to doctors, herpes. It's now the turn of Richard Osman. Richard is the author of a series of best-selling crime novels, which finally explains what he was doing on his laptop while co-hosting Pointless. Your subject, Richard, is hippopotamuses or hippos, large semi-aquatic mammals native to sub-Saharan Africa. Off you go, Richard.
The hippopotamus has a close relation named the unhippopotamus. The unhippopotamus is exactly the same as the hippopotamus, but it listens to Simply Red and wears Crocs. If you are ever charged by a hippopotamus, the best advice is to contact your credit card issuer immediately. Hippos are fairly harmless, however. They never kill humans, they can't run, they can't swim, and their only real chance in the triathlon is the cycling.
Marcus.
I think they can't swim.
You're right. They can't. Yes, their bodies are too dense to float, so they almost always maintain some contact with the bottom, either running along the bottom or pushing up off it to propel themselves through the water.
It is a little-known fact that a sleeping hippopotamus is called a kippopotamus. There was briefly a very rare eukippopotamus at Glasgow Zoo, but it is now in Rwanda. The minor bird in Africa often impersonates the mating call of the male hippo to attract the attention of female hippos, a trick also occasionally attempted by Rory Bremner. Hippos have 4 stomachs, 3 testicles, 8 spleens, the largest brain of any land mammal, and a little pouch to carry their groceries.
Lucy.
3 testicles for more mating.
For more mating, you've made it sound so seductive. A third ball for more mating.
For
the name's
pleasure.
Bond. And of course, have my third ball for more mating. No, they've only got 2 testicles. For a normal amount of mating. Really.
Do they have 4 stomachs?
For more eating. No, they have a single 3-chambered stomach, which I think you could argue is 3 stomachs, but you couldn't argue is 4. So don't try. They've told me to show more authority.
It is a little known fact that the offspring of a hippo and a dolphin is called a flippopotamus. Now, I'm not here to hippo shame, but it is true that hippopotamuses have put on a bit of weight. The largest hippo ever weighed topped the scales at over 17 tons. Though, this was just after Christmas, and hippos always weigh a bit more in January.
Marcus.
I'm not sure that the biggest hippo was 17 tons, but I think maybe generally hippos are getting heavier. That's certainly what I've observed.
You're absolutely right. They are. Hippopotamuses are a lot heavier than they once were. Fossil records show that the first hippos were considerably more slender than their modern descendants. They were about the size of an overgrown sheep and weighed just a few hundred pounds. The skin alone of a hippo today can weigh as much as a ton. A ton of skin.
Hippo milk is now available in many UK health food stores. It tastes a little like soy milk, but please don't let that put you off. Hippo milk looks bright pink, smells like chocolate.
Marcus.
Hippo milk is pink.
It is. You've had it.
Of course I have.
It's bright pink. It says here the milk itself is creamy white, but hippos secrete an oily liquid known as blood sweat, which mixes with the milk and turns it pink.
It's why it makes such extraordinarily good cheese.
The word hipporama means racecourse, the word hippotransience means sleepwalking, and the word hippopoto monstro seques adilia filia means a love of long words.
Thank you, Richard. And at the end of that round, Richard, you've managed to smuggle two truths past the rest of the panel, which are that Rory Bremner did once impersonate the mating call of a male hippo. Bremner's wife, the sculptor Tessa Campbell Fraser, was in Kenya sketching hippos in preparation for a hippo sculpture and needed an image of a male hippo exposing its teeth. She said, Rory helped by impersonating their call, which caused the males to think there was another beast vying for their female. So when they heard Rory's impersonation, a sort of it made them open their mouths and show their teeth in a threatening manner. It was just what I needed. The second truth is that hippopoto monstro sesquipedaliophilia is a real word meaning a love of long words. It's also the title of a book all about long words. And that means, Richard, you've scored 2 points. A male hippo's testicles can be retracted inside the body to a depth of 1 foot, an act only achievable in humans by watching that video of Matt Hancock snogging his girlfriend. Which brings us to the final scores. In fourth place, with minus 6 points, we have Lucy Porter. In third place, with minus 4 points, is Richard Osman. In second place, with minus 2 points, it's Ria Lina. And in first place, with an unassailable 7 points, yes, it's the Frenchman and the hippo milk drinker, Marcus Brigstock. That's about it for this week. Goodbye.
The Unbelievable Truth was devised by John Naismith and Graham Garden and featured David Mitchell in the chair with panellists Marcus Brigstock, Lucy Porter, Ria Lina and Richard Osman. The chairman's script was written by Dan Gaster and Colin Swash and the producer was John Naismith. It was a Random production for BBC Radio 4.